Oh, it's funny that you asked, because he just did last Sunday morning. He was talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they looking at her like, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? She said out of like seven or eight of them, that was there, only two of them knew who Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was. And she said one of them even said that when you're Catholic, you don't need to know about that, or something like that, the woman said. And, you know, I was thinking, I was like, wow, you know, so many people don't know, you know, the Word of God, don't know the Father, don't have a clue about Him. And we were just having this, she says, we were just having this conversation like 2 days before that a friend of hers posted on Facebook, just someone who's a friend on Facebook, not, you know, a real close friend to her, that she said, I need prayer, but I'm not religious. And I'm like, well, man, that's kind of crazy. You want prayer, but you're not religious. I said, well, you know what, Nick? I said, that's when someone who's her friend that claims to be a Christian should have called her out on it. She should have made a little comment like, okay, you're not religious, but who you want me to pray to? Because I know who I'm going to pray to, but who do you want me to pray to? You know, just to, I guess, throw a little wood on the fire or whatever. And when I read 22, that made me think about those two incidents that, you know, people worship who they do not know. They really don't know Him. And I thank Him that He has given us so much insight with the shifting of where we at now and where we're headed. And I'm going to finish. It says 23. It says, but an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And in 23, when it says true worshipers, for such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. And it says in spirit and in truth we must worship him. And that's what I want to kind of dissect that scripture right there a little bit. I'm starting to get work with a big Strong's book, and I'm not real good at it, just picking with it a little bit. And it says worship is to prostrate oneself in homage, to reverence, to adore, by kneeling or prostration, to do homage to one, or make absence, whether in order to express respect or to make supplication. And worshiper was, and I have the little Strong's number, if you have a Strong's and you want to go look it up, it is a G4354. It says to talk to, converse with, or speak to. And you know, once you start digging in the Strong's, one G will lead you to another G, and this G, and then before you know it, you're in H. And I mean, there's just a lot of information. So I wound up hitting another G, and it was G2980. It says to utter a voice or emit a sound, to speak, to talk, to utter or tell, to use words in order to declare one's mind and disclose one's thought. So that was worship and worshiper. So I went to true, because it says true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So I did true, and true was G0228. It says, number one was that which has not only the name and resemblance, but the real nature corresponding to the name, in every respect corresponding to the idea signified by the name, real, true, and genuine. You know, it even gives you Roman number one, Roman number two, all underneath. It's a lot of information. And Roman number one was opposite to what is fictitious, counterfeit, imaginary, simulated, or pretend. Number two was opposite to what is imperfect, defective, frail, and uncertain. And then, of course, you hit another G. G goes to 0226. And it was, the first one was, I speak, to speak or to tell the truth. And underneath it was A, to teach the truth and to profess the truth. And then G0227, it says loving the truth, speaking the truth, and truthful. And then I went to spirit. I did spirit because it says worship him in spirit and in truth. So I did spirit. And it pulls up G5590. It says the soul, the seat of the feelings, desires, affections, aversions, our heart and soul. And then it went down to H5315. It says soul, self, life, creature, person, appetite, mind, living being, desire, emotion, and passion. And it was an A on it. Was like A through a bunch, A through G or something underneath. And I just picked out one. It says that which A was that which breath, the breathing substance or being, soul, the inner being of man. And you know that scripture, that verse right there about an hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. And that's what I want to be, a true worshiper. I just don't want to be a worshiper. Apparently, there must be worshipers and true worshipers. Like he says in his word that up in heaven, there's going to be least and there's going to be greater. There's going to be type of people that I don't know how you want to call it. But I'm thinking there's going to be just worshipers and maybe true worshipers. And that's what I want to be. I want to be a true worshiper, because a true worshiper, like he said in the Strong, it's an appetite. I want to have that appetite to worship him, to know the one I'm worshiping, not just to. I don't want to be like he said, you worship who you do not know, and we worship who we know. I want to know who we worshiping. And I have some scriptures about some true worshipers that was in the Bible, because they had an appetite, they had a voice, they spoke the truth. They loved the truth, and it was truthful. So in Exodus 20, 1 through 6, this is true worship. It's the Ten Commandments, and starting with verse 1, it says, then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He gave this to Moses. He said, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath, or in the waters under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So to be a true worshiper, we have to keep his commandments. And we have to know that he is the Lord our God. And we should have no other gods before him. And Sunday morning, I touched on Daniel. I read Daniel 3:19 through 30, but I want to read Daniel 3, 1 through 18. And this was talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they were true worshipers. Because I'm going to read to you 1 through 18 why they was true worshipers. It says, the king's golden image. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces were assembled for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "To you the command is given, O people, nations, of and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And it says, "For this reason, at that time, certain Galadeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music is to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up.' Then Nebuchadnezzar is enraged. In anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands?'" Wow. That man must have been crazy to make a statement like that. "And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up.'" Man, that's so powerful. You know, when as I was going through looking for scriptures and I came across that, man, that's true worshipers, that they was willing to lay down their life. They refused to worship any other God besides their God. And I thought that was just so powerful. You know, and I also touched on Daniel 6. I read 16 through 22, but I want to read 1 through 5. Daniel 6, 1 through 5. Talking about Daniel in the lion's den. And it said, it seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them 3 commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then does Daniel begin distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps, because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps begin trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." And I said 5, but I want to keep on going because I want to get to one verse. In 6, it says, "These commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke him as follows: King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom and prefects and the straps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish this injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed. According to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius, signed the document, that is, the injunction." Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. Then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. "Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den?" The king replied, "The statement is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked." And you can go on and continue reading. You know, we know the story that when he found out it was Daniel, he tried to get out of it. But Daniel stood, even though he knew that decree that the king made, he still was a true worshiper. He still, it said he prayed for 3 days. I mean, 3 times a day he prayed in his house, no matter what. No matter what he probably knew what the outcome would have been. He knew that if they caught him, that this was going to happen, that he was going to get thrown into the lion's den. But being the man that he is, he was a true worshiper, and he kept on praying to his God. And man, it was awesome. And in Deuteronomy 5, 7 through 10, we can start with verse 6. Deuteronomy 5, 6. It says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven, above or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, and on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, by showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. In Deuteronomy 4, 35 through 40, it says, To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, He is God. There is no other besides Him. Out of the heavens, He let you hear His voice to discipline you. And on the earth, He let you see His great fire. And you heard His words from the midst of the fire. Because He loved your fathers, therefore He chose their descendants after them. And He personally brought you from Egypt by His great power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in and to give you their land for an inheritance as it is today. Know therefore today and take it to your heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. So you shall keep His statute and His commandments, which I am giving you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may live long on the land which the Lord your God is giving you at all times. Jeremiah 10:10 through 12. And that was the Lord speaking to Moses. You know, to be a true worshiper, we have to keep His commandments, keep His statutes. Listen what the prophet Jeremiah says right here. Jeremiah 10:10 through 12. It says, But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At His wrath, the earth quakes, and at the nations, and the nations cannot endure His indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding He has stretched out out the heavens. Jeremiah was a true worshiper. He spoke the truth, and he knew who his God was. 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 2. Listen what Hannah. It says, Then Hannah prayed and said, My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. You know, Jeremiah and Hannah, they are expressing respect. They're giving homage. They're prostrating themselves to the one true God. They are true worshipers. 1 Kings 8, 22 through 23. And then we're going to read 1 Kings 8, 54 through 60. First Kings 8, 22 through 23. It says, Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands towards the heaven. He said, O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on the earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing loving kindness to your servants who walk before you with all their heart. To worship is by kneeling or prostrating, to do homage to one. And that's what Solomon was doing right here. They said he assembled himself and he just raised his hands towards the heavens and declare to the God of Israel. In 54:60, verse 54 through 60. It says, when Solomon had finished praying this entire prayer and supplication to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread toward heaven. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people, Israel. According to all that he promised, not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant. May the Lord your God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine with which I have made supplication before the Lord be near to the Lord our God, day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day requires, so that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no one else. That's a true worshiper. He says, in 56, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed. And that is so true. I mean, we can definitely testify to that, because he has never failed us, not one time. You know, every promise, every word that he's given us, he always came through. It might have never been on our time, but you know, that's kind of a problem that we have. You know, we want it on our time and we think that he's not listening. But he never fails. It's always on time. It's not our time, but it's always on time. And Job, wow. Job was definitely a true worshiper. I mean, Job he'd been through it 100 times worse than anybody that I can read, that I read about. Well, besides Yeshua, because Yeshua definitely was a true worshiper. But Job, in Job 12, 13 through 25, Job 12, 13 to 25. Job speaks of the power of God. With him are wisdoms and might. To him belong counsel and understanding. Behold, he tears down, and it cannot be rebuilt. He imprisons a man, and there can be no release. Behold, he restrains the waters, and they dry up. And he sends them out, and they inundate the earth. With him are strength and sound wisdom. The misled and the misleader belongs to him. He makes counselors walk barefoot and makes fools of judges. He loosens the bond of kings and binds their loins with a girdle. He makes priests walk barefoot and overthrows the secure ones. He deprives the trusted ones of speech and takes away the discernment of the elders. He pours contempt on nobles and loosens the belt of the strong. He reveals mysteries from the darkness and brings the deep darkness into the light. He makes the nations great, then destroys them. He enlarges the nations, then leads them away. He deprives of intelligence the chiefs of the earth's people, and he makes them wander in the pathless waste. They group in darkness with no light, and he makes them stagger like a drunken man. You know, for Job to talk like that about Yahweh, man, that's a true worshiper, all what he was going through. I mean, he lost everything, everything. And his friends was, oh, man, they wanted him to say so much crazy stuff. They wanted him to just deny who he was believing in. But he stuck to the word, and he was a true, true worshiper. In Psalms 145, 1 through 21. Listen what David. It says, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. O generation, one generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. Men will speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all. And his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him and to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Wow. David, definitely, without a doubt, was a true worshiper. You know, and that's exactly what I want to be. I want to be a true worshiper. I want to, every day that I wake up, I want to just give him thanks for everything. For breath, first of all. And everything else is just extra. Whatever else happens throughout my day, it just, I want to glorify him. Because without him, I mean, you can live, but man, why even take that chance? It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. And I just thank him for the opportunity. That's all I have. I want to thank y'all for coming tonight to listen. It's been an honor and a privilege to share his word with y'all. And true worshipers, let's work on being true worshipers, because that's what he wants us to be. It says that's what he seeks. He seeks for such a people to be his true worshipers. Amen. Thank y'all.